The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The horses are at the gate. And they're off!
Welcome to Winning Ponies. With a weekend coming up, this is the spot to be for news, handicapping, and spotlights featuring the winners behind horse racing today. Now, here's your host, John Englehart, racing's regular guy.
And thanks for joining us for another edition of Winning Ponies. I'm John Englehart, and tonight, got two special guests. First out of the gate, we hope to be talking with Tom Amos down in New Orleans. Some good stories coming out of the Amos barn. He did a great animal rescue recently with Populist Politics. Want to talk about what looks to be perhaps one of the top studs that's going to end up in Ohio, is in Ohio, but covered a major book for Robin Murphy. Title volume, the kind of a comeback story in that one, and how he went four seasons in a row getting wins with this horse. So again, we'll be talking with Tom Amos about that, and then of course we will touch on Mo Tom and Venus Valentine. And then our guest handicapper is going to be Pete Aiello, because all of the major racing this weekend is going to take place in Hot Springs at Oaklawn Park, and what a race the Rebel is setting up to be. The top three out of the Southwest are going to be in there. And then, of course, the question is the comeback of Untappable. It's great that the Winchells have kept this horse in training with Steve Asmussen. She's five now, but remember, she was upset in the Azari last year. And then also we have the Razorback Handicap, and that's a grade three going a mile and a 16th. So that'll bring us Pete Aiello, who's the racing analyst and the voice of racing at Oaklawn Park. So I hope you had and are having a safe and happy St. Patrick's Day. Greetings go out to you all. I'll be hoisting a Guinness Stout shortly after we get off the air. And if you pull down some of our easy win sheets this week, man, do we have some unbelievable winners from coast to coast. Down south at Tampa Bay, pulled away two $1 supers, one for $1,900, another for $1,700. Then in the other part of the state, Gulfstream Park, a $1 tri-key that paid over $2,400, and a $1 super five-key that paid $2,371, and a third big hit at Gulfstream Park, a $1 super five for over $4,700. So pull down those easy win forms as we bring you the races from across the nation and the news of what is happening now. All right, let's take a look at some of the things that are happening. Of course, the ranking for the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll came out again this week, and not too many changes. Mohamen on top, Nyquist in second, Dancing Candy is the third pick now, Moore Spirit in the fourth spot, Gunrunner the fifth, Destin set a track record in the Tampa Bay Derby, moves up to sixth, Zulu seventh. And then Mo Tom, we'll be talking with Tom Amos, is considered the eighth best. Number nine, Shagaf, the 10, Greenpoint Crusader. So that's a look at the top 10 again this week in the Ultimate Kentucky Derby Poll Consensus. So we'll see how things change after this weekend. As far as the pre-Oaks and Derby betting right now, Unbeaten Mohamen is favored over all others, and Champion Nyquist as the pre-Derby betting closed out. So right now, Mohamen was considered the 7-2 favorite, and in the second spot is the Mutual Field. So Nyquist is right behind. If you bet on Nyquist for $1.17, Chagoff $30.60. Sudden Breaking News that we will see race over the weekend, $30.40. But again, all other three-year-olds, so there's a lot of questions out there, would pay $13.20. Again, that's based on the $1 wager. And in the girls' side, on the Oaks side, no doubt about it, Songbird, the overwhelming odds-on favorite in the Kentucky Oaks future wager. So Jerry Hollendorfer comes in loaded for the Oaks again, and pretty much up there with her is the undefeated Catherine Sophia, who would give you a $12.80 return for your wager, depending on how much you bet. Songbird, only $3.40. And Venus Valentine, again, the winner of the Twin Spires, Rachel Alexander, trained by Tom Amos, pay a nice $167.80. So we'll see if Tom can give us some more inside track on that filly. Well, talking about Louisiana, Vickers in Trouble succumbs to laminitis is a headline I just pulled down a little while ago before the show. You may remember that he won the 2014 Louisiana Derby, but he was put down earlier this week due to complications of laminitis. It was interesting that he was a Louisiana bred who was bred by Spendthrift Farm. He's from the second crop of popular sire Into Mischief, a winner at two. He won the LeCompte Stakes in his three-year-old year, third in the Risen Star. Bounced back, took the Louisiana Derby, and then headed to Kentucky, but finished 19th behind California Chrome. Sad to say, the poor guy drew the one hole. But he did go on to success later. He won the Super Derby at Louisiana Downs by 7.25 lengths. Then he was second in the Indiana Derby before a career-ending injury that occurred in that year's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So sad to say the Ramseys did their best to try to bring the horse back, but he didn't make it. I know there was a lot of interest from the people in Louisiana. Well, Todd Pletcher is closing in on 4,000 wins. I didn't get a chance to check the charts because I know he had a horse in today. He was at 3,999. I mean, 4,000 wins for a trainer, unbelievable. But you think about the career that he has had. He won the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Trainer in 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. Skip 2 years, 2010, and then 2013 and 2014. The list of his graded stakes winners would take the entire show to list, but we do remember that in 2013 he won the Belmont Stakes, and in 2010 he got the monkey off his back with Super Saver in the Kentucky Derby. He did also win the Belmont Stakes with a filly, Rags to Riches, was second in the Belmont with Commissioner. So congratulations to Todd Pletcher, an amazing career. Well, things have closed out at the Delta Downs Racetrack and Casino, and Gerard Melanson and Carl Bromberg took home the respective jockey and trainer titles. So congratulations to them. Moving on, in breeding news, Mashawish is going to stand at TaylorMade in 2017. As you know, that he's heading over for the big race in Dubai. He's a son of Medaglia D'Oro, who took the Don Handicap, also won last year's Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, and, of course, will be in the Dubai World Cup against none other than TaylorMade's California Chrome. So he'll probably have a great appeal to the breeders. I don't believe that a stud fee has been set yet. It's going to be a 50-50 deal between TaylorMade and Ashacube. I have a hard time with some of these names when the horse does go to stud. Of course, depending on if he wins in Dubai, that will certainly change his stud value. Well, one of my favorite horses of all times, Groupie Doll, fold a filly by Tappet on Monday night. It was her second foal, filly by Tappet. Everything went very smooth. Of course, she won 12 of 23 starts for Buff Bradley, including two consecutive runnings of the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. She was also twice voted the Eclipse Award Champion Female Sprinter, earning over $2.6 million. She was sold to Mandy Pope at the Keeneland sale for $3.1 million. It'll be interesting to see when this filly makes it to the track. All right, let's take a look at last week's races. We talked about the Tampa Bay Derby, and it was Twin Creeks Stable Destin. Second straight stakes win at Tampa Bay Downs, this time setting the track record there in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby. And so we just mentioned Todd Pletcher, and his horses took the top two spots as Destin edged past Stablemate Outwork in the stretch in that mile and a 16th race. And so we'll be definitely, hopefully if the horse stays fit, and we see no reason why it wouldn't, that he'll be in the field for the Derby. The race didn't go well for Brody's Cause that a lot of people were very high on. He was bumped at the start and trailed the field of nine early, made a bit of a rally, which is his game, but ended up finishing seventh. So that was the wrap-up on the Tampa Bay Derby. As far as the Oaks win, there was a new face in town, Biakami Piccola. Made the best of her first U.S. start March 12th. That was last Saturday. And she took down the Florida Oaks. It was a Grade 3 test as Julian Leparoux was in the saddle. And she broke good. He took her back. And then she came on. So it'll be interesting to see where we see her going. She's a British bred out of a Danehill Dancer mare, Lucky Legs. Biakami Piccola. Remember that name? Easier for you to say than me. All right, let's take a look also at some of the races we handicapped with Jay Privman. We went out to Santa Anita. Big day out there. Of course, it was the Santa Anita Handicap, the Grade 1, and a horse that put him to sleep. Melatonin. What a name, huh? This horse had a big return after not racing since November 15th. We noted that on the show, and was sent away at 16-1. Had the speed and pulled away with a huge win, wire to wire. In the second spot at 22-1 was Hard Aces, and the third at 7-5, the favorite, FNX, got the win. Now, Donworth almost clipped heels in the backstretch. There was an inquiry, but it appeared that he had caused his own problems. Donworth was pretty much ranked throughout the whole race. Again, that being the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, a very, very famous race on the racing calendar. Then we went to the Frankie Kilroe Mile, Grade 1. The winner there, wire to wire. What a view at 6-1. Kent DeSormo in the saddle. Running second was Bolo, a 2-1 shot. And third was Balabelli, a Brazilian bred. Then in the Grade 2 San Carlos, the winner was Kobe's Back, who was last early, widest of all, and just exploded. Kobe's Back gets the spot over 13-1 shot Coastline and Calculator, who seems to be healthy again. And we rounded it out with a race that will have Derby implications, and the winner was Dancing Candy, Twirling Candy, a stallion who's very hot right now, sent away at 5-1, another wire-to-wire winner there at Santa Anita. And the second spot was More Spirit, and finishing third, Exaggerator, the 2-1 shot. More Spirit was the slight favorite at 8-5. All right, that's a look at national news and last week's racing. We've got Tom Amos coming up with us, so hang on, stay tuned. You're listening to Winning Ponies.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we
cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And they're off.
What?
can't make it to the track? You can still get all the action with WinningPonies.com, the home of the easy win form, the most accurate predictions on thoroughbreds, quarters, and Arabian horses at most American and Canadian tracks. Whether it be the Triple Crown, Breeders' Cup, Travers, Haskell, or your daily races, don't worry. Let WinningPonies.com make some money for you.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Winning Ponies with your host, John Englehart. Got a tip for us?
Need a tip from us?
If you want to talk with John or his guests, the phone lines are now open toll-free at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to show@winningponies.com. Now, back to Winning Ponies with John Englehart.
All right, and with us right now for this segment is Tom Amos. So lucky to get him on. He's consistently ranked as one of the top trainers in North America. Like a lot of top trainers and certainly a lot of top jockeys, he's got Louisiana roots. Tom Amos, welcome to Winning Ponies, and you are a New Orleans kid?
Yeah, I'm a New Orleans guy, John. Thank you very much for having me. New Orleans born and LSU graduate, so through and through Louisiana guy.
And now I hope I'm not interfering with any St. Patrick's Day party you might be having.
You know, I'm downtown at a friend of mine's restaurant, Desi Vega, having dinner, and I told him, I said, hold the main course a little bit. I got to talk to the main man, John.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. Well, I know that you came up under some of the top trainers down there. I don't know what's in the water or the air, Louisiana, but so many good horsemen have come from out of there. Obviously, we know about the jockeys that dominated the standings for decades. It started in the bushes, but a lot of good trainers have come out of the fairgrounds. Tell us about your starts, because I believe it started back when you were in high school.
It did. It's funny if you mention that. I told the story today. I had an owner in town to have his horse run at the fairgrounds today, a horse named Hello People, which he happened to win, thank goodness. It's always fun to win when your owner's in town. And I drove him back to the barn after the race to show him his other two horses, and this is the first time he's ever been to the fairgrounds. And I said, as he drove back there, I said, when I was in the ninth grade, I came to the fairgrounds, and I met Jack Vanberg, and I told him I would like a job during my Christmas break in high school, which was a 2.5 week period. And Mr. Vanberg gave me a job, and it was 5 a.m. 7 days a week, just like it is now. And I made that job maybe 9 days, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I quit. And I thought, well, that's going to be my future in horse racing. I can't do this kind of job. It's just too demanding. The hours are too tough. And I went back to work for him when I was in college, and I made it through the entire summer during my college break. And again, when I got done with it, I said, I just can't, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's too hard to wake up this early, this many days in a row. It's just too trying on me. But when I graduated from school at LSU, I never took an interview. I just went back to the track, and I worked for, at that time, Frank Brothers, who was Vanberg's assistant. And Vanberg was like the modern-day Steve Asmussen. He had like 4 or 5 outfits all throughout the country, and these assistants were working for him. And many of them went out on their own. Bill Mott was an assistant for Vanberg at the time. Frankie Brothers was the assistant down here at the fairgrounds. So even though I was working for Vanberg, I was really working for Frank Brothers. And so when I got out of school, I went to work full-time here at the fairgrounds for Frankie Brothers. And the ironic thing is that that barn that I had my first job in when I was in ninth grade, which is going back in time, we're talking about 1976, that barn is the barn I operate out of now. So when I sit in that office sometimes when work, I sometimes think I used to walk in that office and grab a shank because I was the little man on the totem pole and go walk horses.
That is great. You've gone full circle. I know, I believe Wayne Catalano was a graduate of that school too.
He was indeed. That's exactly right. I have pictures. Wayne's a little bit older than me, but I have pictures of Wayne on winning horses for Vanberg and me in the winner's circle holding the paddock bag.
That's fantastic. Well, there was a fantastic story that popped up last week. A friend of mine, Robin Murphy, that runs Poplar Creek Farm in Ohio, I know that you've trained for her in the past. She invited me out to her farm to take some photos of an absolutely gorgeous horse by the name of Populist Politics. And if not for you, that Louisiana-bred son of Don't Get Mad probably... who knows what hands it would have fallen in? How did you rediscover him? And just kind of tell us the story, because you were the one that that trained him to win over $600,000.
Right. So Populist was a horse that came to me as a 2-year-old, compliments of Clarabitch Stables, Seth Clareman and Bill Lawrence, and he was a nice horse, and a really, as you said, a really pretty thoroughbred, and he showed his stuff early on in his career. I think he won his first start. Going back in time, he was a multiple stakes winner. He was a Louisiana bred, and he made quite a bit of money for us. But as he got older, as a lot of horses do, you know, he started to fall a little bit in talent. So it was obvious he wasn't going to be a stake horse anymore. But he's still a quality horse that had some good racing in him. And so we ran him for a high claim, and in a surprising move, someone claimed him that day. So I never lost track of him after that. But I must say that when he ran for 4,000 claim about 2 weeks ago, it was Seth Clareman of Clarabitch Stables that reached out to me and said via text, "Hey, Populist is in for 4,000. Should we claim him and retire him?" And I texted him back and I said, "Yes." I said, "I'll put up half and let's do that." So really, Seth got the ball rolling, not me. And we did claim that night and he won. So he went out a winner, and he's remained sound throughout his career, which is really great. So he's got a great future ahead of him, and what that future is going to be, that's going to be up to Robin Murphy. But I know he's a horse that loves life. He's really smart in the sense of a thoroughbred. So he's a joy to be around, and you know, it makes me feel good too that he's got a good life.
Well, I was thrilled to be there. We had a bad patch of weather, and it finally broke last week when he got his first turnout after his life on the racetrack. And he was absolutely a joy. He was loving it. And, of course, after he ran for about 30 seconds as a beautifully groomed horse, he found the biggest mud puddle in the paddock and just had a great role in it.
Isn't that the greatest? Yeah.
But just a super personality. Well, yeah, we alluded to Robin Murphy, and she's got another great story. She was actually given a son of Tappet, believe it or not, who I believe had a broken knee. And Robin, being the horsewoman she was, or is, I should say, at the time, nursed this horse back healthy enough that as a 4-year-old, she was able to turn it over to Tom Amos to train, and you were able to win races with this horse 4 seasons in a row through his 7-year-old career, and now he's off to a flying start at stud. Tell us about Title Volume.
So, I mean, not just win races, but this horse was a stakes winner. So he was a quality horse. I mean, look, all the credit goes to Robin. Robin, you know, rehabbed this horse. And, you know, there's more to rehab than just going through the motions. I mean, when a person really, really shows a love of what they're doing and a love of the horse, which Robin certainly has, Title Volume, I just think that situation makes for a better opportunity for that horse to come back. And I am 100% confident that that's the case here. So I got Title Volume, and Robin was a little weary about what kind of horse he was going to be. And when we got ready to run him the first time, it was one of those rare occasions. And maybe, look, I run 400, 500 horses a year. Maybe there's one or two times a year where I really feel like the only thing that can get me beat in this race is bad luck. And that was one of those days. I was like, this horse is training great. The only thing that gets us beat here is if something really unusual happens in the race. And he went out there and he won. He won with authority. Julian Leperoux rode him that day. And that was the start, you know, and he went from there. And he was a great racehorse for us. And, you know, in the amount of time from when Robin had that horse to now, Tappet has become such a dominant sire. And Sons of Tappet have become so in demand. Here's a sire that's standing in Ohio and a Son of Tappet. I mean, and the Ohio program is so strong now. I'm like, how come they're not? There should be 150 mares wanting to breed to this horse, because, I mean, he truly is everything you want in a sire.
Well, Tom, just so you know, he did set the record last year for number of mares covered ever by an Ohio stallion. So, Ohio's got to get more mares is what they've got to get, because they got a good stud in title volume. When you talk about how hot, Tappet is, Uncle Mo's pretty much on fire himself. And you've got Mo Tom, a horse that was so impressive in the LeCompte and got so much bad luck in the Risen Star. How's Mo Tom doing?
He's doing great. And, you know, for the audience listening, Mo Tom is a horse that is a come from behinder. He sits back and he makes a late run at horses. But, you know, he's not just a horse that picks up the pieces. His late run really is breathtaking. I mean, he's an athlete. And so when we went to the Risen Star after winning the comp, I have to say, yeah, I was really confident that he would run a good race. And as he turned for home, a horse impeded him and really made an awkward move to impede him, because we did everything right there, and our jockey, Corey Lannery, did as well. And it was just one of those unfortunate situations. And they actually bumped, and Tom cut his leg in the course of the race. But, you know, when something like that happens, the disappointment of not winning is one thing, but I think the first and foremost thing on anyone's mind should be the health of the horse. And you know, that was our big concern. Is our horse going to be okay? And in those situations, as in any race situation, it's always the next day where things crop up. You know, they've had a night to sleep in their barn and in their stall, and you come out the next morning, whatever aches and pains are bothering them, you get to see. And fortunately, Tom was in good shape. And I don't mind telling you, I said my prayers that night before I went to sleep and to ask God to really be all right, which he is. So we get another chance in the Louisiana Derby on the 26th. That's a week from this Saturday, and we're very excited about it. Tom is in the top 10 in points earned for the Kentucky Derby. I think he'll probably be the favorite in the Louisiana Derby, even though he got beat in his last start, because even an unbiased view would have to say that he was going to win the race if he hadn't gotten stopped, because once he did get stopped, He got going again, and he only got beat by about a length and a half, and he was, you know, 20 yards past the wires in front of everybody. So we get an extra 16th of a mile. This race is a mile and an eighth. That's a big difference. That's another 110 yards, and we're looking forward to it.
What would it be like for a kid that grew up in New Orleans, started out at the fairgrounds, to win the Louisiana Derby?
You've done your homework. A question I haven't been asked, that I wondered why I'd never been asked, because I've been here, worked here, trained here. I've done it all here. I've got my entire family. I'm one of six boys. They all live here. And, you know, that's been my dream forever. You know, when I was in ninth grade and thought I wanted to train horses one day, I thought, wow, what would it be like to win the Louisiana Derby? And, you know, I don't know what it would be like. I know it would be great. But I've never won it. I've been favored in it. The best I've done is second. I was second, beating a neck with My Lute a couple of years ago. We went on to be third in the Preakness. But I've never won the race. And, you know, my mom and dad are still alive, and they're around. And they're in their 90s, but they have all their faculties. And I would like to reward them, because as a boy growing up, and all my brothers do something different, the one thing my parents did was encourage our dreams. You know, whatever we want to do, they had one caveat. They said, whatever you want to do in life, we're behind you, but you have to get a college education. And in my line of work, I was never really thought that a college education was that important, but I did what they said, and I'm glad I did, because it ended up being very important.
Well, obviously, you came out of it very well polished. Most of our listeners have seen you on television with regularity. Before I let you go, though, Tom Amos, got to ask you about your big upsetter at 74-1 in the Rachel Alexandra Venus Valentine. You obviously knew something about this horse a lot of other people didn't.
You know, it's funny. You can read a form, and you can look at all the information in the form, and some things you have to look at and kind of infer, what does it mean, you know? And the one thing about her was that if you use all the information in the form, particularly her work pattern, you could see that it was getting very, very good going into that race. And that's what she was showing us in the morning. This was a filly that was coming into her own in training. She had a habit of cramping up muscle-wise. We call it tying up, which is the kind of layman name for it. And she'd gotten over that, and chronic tying up will really take away from a horse's performance. So she hadn't been doing that, and she started to train very, very well. Not to say that we didn't get a lot of luck in that race. We're a come-from-behind horse. The race set up perfectly. There was a bunch of speed in the race, and the race literally collapsed. I mean, they went so fast early that she wasn't even on the TV screen when they were running the race, and I really wondered, you know, where is she? And yeah, she came running at the end. She skimmed the rail and never had a straw in Peter Path, and she was able to get up, and that's the probably biggest mutual I've ever paid any kind of race.
Did some of the boys back at the barn have a few dollars on her?
Let me put it to you this way. I had two guys miss work the next day. I have a feeling, I never saw them again after that. I have a feeling they got their get-out-of-town money.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, Tom, the schedule for both MoTOM and Venus Valentine, obviously,
right.
You've already mentioned that the Louisiana Derby's on his plate. Where maybe we see Venus surface next?
Same day, same track. Still running the Fairgrounds Oaks. And that race is the same distance as her last win. And, you know, her style's going to be the same. It's going to be sit back, make a run at them, and hope they come back to her.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Tom. Years ago, I was the publicist down at the fairgrounds, and that was when they were still giving out Louisiana Derby ties. If you win the Louisiana Derby, I'll get your address from Robin and send you that Louisiana Derby tie.
I love it. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. It might not
That'd
be the most
be
fashionable, but it'll be something for your collection for sure.
Well, you know what? I'll have earned it if I win that race, and that'll feel good.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story with us, for the time you took in developing the horse, the title volume, and the heart that you showed in going back and picking up Populist Politics. It's been a great time talking with you, Tom. Greatly appreciate it.
John, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks a lot.
All right. We've been talking with Tom Amos. We're going to take a bit of a break here, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Pete Aiello on the line with us to handicap the big races that are coming up at Oaklawn Park over the weekend. You're listening to Winning Ponies.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
And they're off.
What? Can't make it to the track? You can still get all the action with WinningPonies.com, the home of the easy win form, the most accurate predictions on thoroughbreds, quarters, and Arabian horses at most American and Canadian tracks. Whether it be the Triple Crown, Breeders' Cup, Travers, Haskell, or your daily races, don't worry, let WinningPonies.com make some money for you.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up? Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Winning Ponies with your host, John Englehart. Got a tip for us?
Need a tip from us?
If you want to talk with John or his guests, the phone lines are now open toll-free at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to show@winningponies.com. Now, back to Winning Ponies with John Englehart.
Well, I told you at the top of the show we were going to have a great racing analyst and a track announcer with us, and I am making good on my promise, but it's not Pete Aiello. Nope, it's none other than the man I admire in racing, the one and only Ed Meyer. Ed, thanks so much for being on the show. We had some technical difficulty with a guy you used to work with by the name of Mr. Pete Aiello.
Well, John, well, first off, thank you for having me on. It's always a lot of fun. But, you know, I have to say, this is a pretty big weekend for Mr. Aiello. He's upstepped his game. He's in a different strata. And I have to say, there's a lot of excitement happening at Oaklawn Park.
Well, from what I understand, I'm going to get to see you again on a regular basis this summer.
In fact, we are. It actually kicks up April 29th. It's the opening of Belterra Park. It'll be our third season of live racing, Thursday through Sunday, and I am chomping at the bit.
That makes two of us, my friend. Well, I don't know if you know, I'm not sure if any releases went out, but the races that you call the divisional champions for Ohio came out, and a guy who's a real class act at Belterra Park, Ivan Vasquez, took home top spot with none other than Jax Fact. So happy for Ivan. I don't know if you got word about him being Horse of the Year or not.
No, I did not. And kudos to Ivan Vasquez. He's one of the real talented blue collar guys that just kind of hover behind the scenes. You know, we're lucky enough to see these folks, you know, apply their trade. And you've known Ivan since he probably started many moons ago. But I'm very, very pleased.
Yes, Ivan was an assistant to a guy I know you know, who sad to say he's no longer with us, and that was Albert Palacios. So he was just known as one of the best trainers in the Midwest. So Ivan came up under the right guy. And I think towards the end of his career, you know, Albert did a lot of the bringing in the owners and getting the horses, and Ivan did the hands-on stuff. So he's also very good at developing young riders, and we got to give a tip of the cap to Megan Fadlovich, who's won most of the $480,000 that Jax Fact has won.
Megan's quite a nice little rider, and when I say little rider, she's young, and I think there's a lot of good things to come. Hopefully, there's a lot of many times we're going to be seeing her in the winner's circle. But it did seem those pink and lime green silks, they actually did team up and had many a trips to the winner's circle. And, you know, John, this year, even more so, you touched on Albert Palacios, and that's actually going to be on May 1, I believe, the Palacios Babs Memorial. So, where, you know, as time does fly, you know, it kind of gets me to thinking, you know, I wonder what Ivan's going to have this year that, you know, up his sleeve.
Well, I'm not sure, but, you know, he's established such a great reputation as being a horseman and being patient. Of course, a horse I visited yesterday in Georgetown, Kentucky, Cat Launch. I know that you've seen him run and called his name many a time. Ivan trained him to be winning stakes races at the age of 12. So that's testimony to the kind of horseman he is.
You know, Cat Launch, John, actually, in my wall of fame, there was a T-shirt made. Now, this guy, he worked at River Downs for a long time, and he really knew what the people wanted. And I have a folded version of Cat Launch, a very warm spot in my heart. And for a dollar bill, can you name the guy who designed that shirt?
I believe his name was John Collins O'Brislin Englehart.
And I still got my copy, and it's in my wall of fame. I love Cat Launch. What a storied career. The Ohio racing scene kind of flies under the national radar at times, but I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of excitement going on.
Well, speaking of excitement, I was so lucky to get Tom Amos on the phone for your warm-up act, shall I say. And I will say, you are the guy that told me Mo Tom is the horse to watch, and he's talking with a lot of confidence in his voice about winning the Louisiana Derby.
You know, that only makes me want to dig into the jeans and really pull out the grains, John, in your own words. I saw a little something, as well as every punter in the world watched and wagered on the race at Louisiana at Fairgrounds, and I saw Mo Tom run into a heap load of trouble, actually, inside the 16th hole. I thought he was going to go over the rail for a second, but it was a very troubled trip. But I think at this stage, maybe a little trouble, maybe a little traffic is just what the young horses need on their way to bigger and better things. You know, first at the Fairgrounds, and hopefully second to be in Louisville, Kentucky. But John, I think that Mo Tom is actually going to benefit from this little, we're just going to call it a little pinball action, and I think that Mo Tom's going to come out way the better at this end of the deal.
Okay, well, what do you say that I'm pretty sure you pulled down some of the races from Oak Lawn Park. Don't ask me how I know that, but I just got a feeling. Wanted to kind of get your read on the Rebel Stakes.
You know, the Rebel is always a good race, and over the years, you know, it's had more players that have actually marched out of the Rebel. They're going to go a mile and 16th. It's a Grade Two event. I believe 14 horses. There's two entries in there. John, you can make a case for about four or five, but you know, honestly, putting it, it's going to be a very fast race. And I think it's going to be very salty. I think the key race to watch is whoever came out of the Southwest Stakes, the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes, where Sudden Breaking News, Whitmore, and American Dubai ran 1-2-3. I think this is a real key race. But in a barrel with a bottom, I really go to the 10 Whitmore, who had a little bit of trouble, steadied at the half, 4-5 wide, had a little trouble out of the gate. It was a fast pace, and Mike Smith was in town to ride. I really, really like Whitmore, but you're going to get a change of riders. A little New York rider by the name of Irad Ortiz. I'm locking up. I wish I could lock up the odds of 7-2 on Whitmore.
Yeah, and what I like about this horse, Ron Moquette, who's a very good horseman, probably scratched his head a little bit after the Delta Jackpot, decided to throw blinkers on this horse. And the horse, even though he's a late runner, it seems to have put some focus in him. He was, you know, rolling in the Southwest. He dominated the first time he had him on in that optional claimer. And I always like to see a horse on the improve after an equipment change one way or the other.
And if you take a look at the Bullet Works, you're seeing more bullets than in Jesse James's gun. I think this is a lightly raced gelding here, and I think they might have something special. They may just be figuring him out in the right, at the right stage of the game here. 2-for-2 in the money at Oaklawn. I think horses that actually run over the surface benefit more, but there have been some other key tracks that have played kind of as a very nice springboard in Oaklawn. But I think Whitmore ran into a little bit of trouble. But the winner of the Southwest that day was a horse called Sudden Breaking News, and your man Pete Aiello picked him up past the quarter pole and saw him moving about 6 or 7 wide, it seemed, and he was 14th by 15 lengths down the backstretch, John, and he goes on to win impressively.
Really, really did. Well, Ed, I want to thank you so much for being able to pinch hit for this first portion of the handicapping section.
Sure.
Of the show, and I hope to get down to Northern Kentucky and get a chance to see you pretty soon, and best of luck. I do believe that you are penning a few stories for our friends at Winning Ponies.
You better believe it. It's always a joy, and it's always a whole lot of fun. Make sure you tune into the internet show. You can get stories, blogs, and there's some free selections that are going to be put up in the morning, so you're definitely going to want to take a look at that. And definitely, if you get a chance, watch and wager. Take a listen to Pete Aiello. You're hearing a voice for the future.
And you're hearing a voice from the present in one Ed Meyer. Ed, thanks a lot for coming on with us. And I will be going to winningponies.com because I want to read what you wrote, my friend.
My pleasure. Have a great night and best of luck to everyone.
All right. Going to take a little bit of a break here. When we come back, we are going to go to the racing analyst and voice of Oak Lawn Park, Pete Aiello. You're listening to Winning Ponies.
a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And they're off.
What? Can't make it to the track? You can still get all the action with WinningPonies.com, the home of the easy win form. The most accurate predictions on thoroughbreds, quarters, and Arabian horses at most American and Canadian tracks. Whether it be the Triple Crown, Breeders' Cup, Travers, Haskell, or your daily races, don't worry. Let WinningPonies.com make some money for you.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
You're tuned in to Winning Ponies with your host, John Englehart. Got a tip for us?
Need a tip from us?
If you want to talk with John or his guests, the phone lines are now open toll-free at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to show@winningponies.com. Now, back to Winning Ponies with John Englehart.
All right, and with me, the other half of the entry of racing analysts and track announcers, Pete Aiello, who just got out of the St. Patrick's Day parade down in Hot Springs. Pete, how you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing good. I apologize for the delay. Maybe it's just Gulfstream Park post time style, where it was zero for about 10 minutes there. But Hot Springs is home, John, I was telling you, to the literally the world's shortest St. Patrick's Day parade. We go half a block around a very small street, and I didn't think it would take nearly as long as it did, so I apologize for my tardiness.
Well, I actually have a T-shirt from the St. Patrick's Day parade at Hot Springs from about 10 years ago. I think it was their second annual at the time. Well, Pete, been watching you, listening to you. You're doing a great job out there. It looks like you've really embraced Oaklawn Park, and certainly you've got a bead on the scene out there. Now, we do have some horses that are coming off layoffs or shipping in from another track, but you're very familiar with the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn Park, and we got the top three out of the Southwest. They're going to go to post in the $900,000 Grade 2 Rebel. Is it there a big buzz about the Rebel this year?
Absolutely. It's the first time in Oaklawn's history that the Rebel's been a $900,000 race. Certainly we're hoping after a great renewal of this year's race that we can get that bumped up to a Grade 1 next year. You know, with the Fountain of Youth being the prep for the Florida Derby, and it's a Grade 1, why not have the prep for the Arkansas Derby as a Grade 1 also?
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got some of the top trainers in the country there. Steve Asmussen has two horses coming in that could be any kind, both of them coming off wins, and you can't ever underestimate Dwayne Lucas when he sends two horses to post in a graded stakes race.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of depth to it. I actually heard the tail end of Mr. Meyer's commentary, and he certainly was right on that Whitmore got mugged in the Southwest. He had to take up bad right about the half-mile pole. But a horse that got, I don't even know what adjective to use worse than mugged, would be Z Royal, who's one of those horses you were just talking about. Gary Stevens had to tap on the brake something fierce. It was almost amazing into the first turn that he didn't go down. So there's a lot of different angles to take. Do you take the horse like Sudden Breaking News, who won so well in the Southwest, or do you go a different way? I can tell you one thing, John. The winner of the post position draw by far was a horse named Discreetness. Now, he won the prep for the Southwest, the Smarty Jones, but in the Southwest itself, he drew the 14-hole, and he never saw the inside the entire way. He was four or five deep the whole trip and just didn't offer his best shot after that.
Yeah, and you know, as you know, I've big fan of the connections there in Jinx Fires and Jockey John Court. There's some class acts right there. And you're right. If you look at his running line, it looks like he does, for his best effort, need to be a little bit closer to the pace, and certainly he was in the Southwest. So that's a horse I wouldn't throw out, but you know what? I think that's one that could be overlooked by the public and get a lot of value.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then there's another horse, and if anybody in the world appreciates what I'm getting ready to say, it's you. One of the things I pride myself in when I call races is to try to pick up horses that are making moves and try not to ever be surprised by any sort of big move. And there was a horse, the last time he ran, he completely surprised me. And my race call was something to the effect of, here comes Creator. Oh, my goodness, where did he come from? Because he went from nowhere in the screen to drawing out by 4 or 5 lengths. And I went back and watched the replay. I mean, he just had an explosive turn of foot. Now, granted, you're asking a horse who just broke his maiden to win a $900,000 grade two. But at the same time, as you touched on earlier, Steve Asmussen's not going to run a horse in a grade two if he doesn't feel like he has it belongs, you know?
Absolutely. And one more comment. Bob Baffert is going for his sixth Rebel. He comes in with Cupid, who he took out of the San Felipe and decided to go to this spot. Has to be considered dangerous.
Yeah, and so does Taurus. He's a grade one winner. He won at Saratoga last year for Doug O'Neill. So, you know, there's a lot of depth to the race, a full 14-horse field, so I'll have my hands completely full.
You will. I will tell you, you've done a great job at finding some of these horses coming from out of the clouds, because I did listen to the Southwest, and like you said, from nowhere, sudden breaking news suddenly broke to the lead, and the sharp eye of Pete Aiello was able to catch it. All right, well, let's see if history repeats itself. I love to see this year we're seeing some very good champions, graded stakes winners, stay in training, unselfish on behalf of the owners of these horses. Untappable, obviously, won. She's already an Eclipse Award winner. She's now a 5-year-old mare out of the Asmussen barn. And she was, I believe, 1-10 to win this race last year. And she got beat by a half length by Gold Medal Dancer. I just wonder, and I'm looking at her series of works, none of them too eye-popping. Do you think Asmussen's saying, sure, I want to win this race, but if I don't worry about it. I'm going in the apple blossom.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the ideology all the way. I mean, I think that she is definitely the best horse in the race. I know that the connections were not happy with the way she was ridden her last couple of races, so they're making a switch to Florent Giroux, who's been winning everything in sight. So,
yes.
You know, there's definitely something to be said for that. But, you know, the horse that won the race here at Oaklawn last time, that was a horse named Call Pat. And she did so against a huge pace scenario. In other words, she had nothing to chase into that race, and she came like an express train and went from last to first in about a quarter of a mile. So I don't know if she's untappable quality, but certainly, as you said, John, if untappable doesn't bring her A game, I think Call Pat stands to reap the benefits.
Well, Ed and I were talking off the air earlier, and he kind of gives a little push to a horse in here by the name of Streamline.
Yeah, Streamline is a very interesting horse. She upset the field in her first race at Oaklawn Park, coming out of Chicago for Brian Williamson. And the thing about her is she's real tractable. She can do whatever you want her to do. If you want her to sit, if you want her to tuck in or circle horses, she can do just about anything you ask her to. So I wouldn't argue with that one bit. And I would venture to say that the price on Streamline is going to be very big. She doesn't usually get a lot of attention at the windows.
Well, either way, it's going to be a great race to watch. It's, I guess, as they say, it's Untappable's race to lose, but they said that last year at 1-10, and she did, in fact, not get to the front in time. Well, the Razorback's been going on for 57 years. It's a mile and a 16th. We've got some older horses in here, and it looks like a pretty evenly matched field. I'll just tell you, a horse I like in here is Far Right. This horse seems to relish on the Oaklawn surface. Ramo Cat has it in the barn, ran some big races, won the Southwest last year after winning the Smarty Jones, didn't fare well in the Kentucky Derby, had to take quite a bit of time off, but seems like he's back on track with a big optional claiming win last time out. Am I crazy, or should I go someplace else?
Well, I don't know that you're crazy. I agree with you 100% that the race is completely the most competitive stakes race that we have outside of the Rebel. I mean, I really think there's some depth in there and some value to be had. There's good news and bad news to Far Right as far as I'm concerned. The good news is that his first race off the layoff was huge. He ran really, really well, and he didn't win, but it certainly was no fault of his own. He just ran out of racetrack. The bad news is that even though he won last time out, the horse who ran second that day, Abraham, is an interesting scenario. Ramon Vasquez was riding Abraham that day, and Abraham was down toward the inside, and I think Far Right surprised him. And when Abraham was moved back to the outside where Far Right was, Abraham dug back in. Well, you say, why is that bad news, Pete? Well, I said, well, the problem is that Abraham came back the other day to run in a two-other-than-allowance race and ran no good at all. So I think there's some pros and cons with the far right, but I think that that's going to be the case with pretty much anybody in there.
Well, I see Toby Keith has a horse in here in Smack Smack. Only got about a minute left. Pete, who do you think is going to be the horse to beat?
Well, I think Far Right's going to take a lot of action. He's a local horse, and I certainly wouldn't argue with you. I'm happy you brought up Smack Smack, John, because we were, you know, you were talking earlier about Steve Asmussen maybe prepping for a run in the Apple Blossom, and that wouldn't surprise me if Don Von Hemmel, he's cagey. I mean, this is the elder statesman of the Von Hemmel family, and he trained Smack Smack, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. And if you do like Smack Smack, I'm not talking you off him, and he'll be a big number.
Well, Pete, I thank you very much for your time. I'm glad that you were chosen in your first year down there to partake in the St. Patrick's Day parade down there. But it was good to hear from Ed, too, and I got as much information out of you as I needed on the three races. Good luck. This is going to be probably your biggest three-race day in the history of your race calling career.
Yeah, it's going to be certainly the biggest call I've ever made, $900,000 grade two. I'll have the bucket ready in case I get a little nervous, if you know what I mean.
All right. Well, thanks, Amelia. We've been talking with Pete Aiello, the racing analyst and the voice now of Oaklawn Park. Of course, for so many years, we had Terry Wallace there, another graduate of River Downs, just like Pete. So on this March 17th, as we close out the show, may you have walls for the wind, a roof for the rain, a warm cup of tea by the fire, laughter to cheer you, those you love near you, and all that your heart does desire. From all of us at Winning Ponies, have a great St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks for listening to Winning Ponies with John Englehart. We know the information from today's show will help you at the next post. Keep listening for more next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.